This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. If you've ever stopped to rest amid a stand of longleaf pines, you've heard the distinctive whisper of the wind blowing through their bushy boughs. This brushing of the long pine needles is quieter than the rustle of hardwood leaves, but more insistent. It might have been this whisper that moved conservationist Helen Boyd Dull to save a certain stand of old-growth longleafs near southern pines. Or perhaps they spoke to her in other ways. Whatever the reason, Boyd Dull's work in preserving the trees of Weymouth has helped keep them safe for more than a century. Historian Ray Owen grew up surrounded by the trees that Helen Boyd Dull saved. To help perpetuate their sanctuary and her memory, he created a performance piece called Bleeding Pines of Turpentine. It blends music, dance, and spoken word. Ray Owen and one of his collaborators, choirmaster Rod Brower of the Together in Unity Choir, join me now to talk about the piece. Ray and Rod, welcome to the State of Things. Good to have you here.
Thank you very much.
Ray, tell us about this performance. Why is it called The Bleeding Pines of Turpentine, first of all?
The play is called Bleeding Pines of Turpentine because at one point that was the most significant industry in the Sandhill section and in the coastal plain of North Carolina. Essentially, all of the pine forest was one large turpentine orchard. That provided the only economy because the land was not good for farming. And so essentially throughout the woods where I live are incredible groves of trees that have these beautiful markings, markings that had been made by former slaves or their descendants, the people who had worked in the turpentine orchard. And I grew up seeing these things and realizing how remarkable they were and really felt compelled to tell a story about them.
And the trees really were bled. It wasn't that they were cut for timber so much, although some might have been, but mostly they were nicked and bled, essentially.
Yes, essentially that's what it was. There were various workers in the industry who would come in and they would strip the bark off the outside of the pine tree and then hack in it to create these V-shaped marks to essentially create a channel. And in the base of the tree, they would create a hole that was called a box, and the box would capture the resin as it dripped down. And then other workers would come along and use tools to dip that out into buckets, which was then harvested and distilled into turpentine or made into the various naval store products.
And these weren't found only in North Carolina. They were found all up and down the eastern seaboard at one time, right?
Definitely. It was a forest that was 93 million acres in size, and it spanned the entire eastern seaboard from Texas all the way up into, I think, actually lower New York. And by the 20th century, the turn of the 20th century, most of this forest had been devastated through this industry.
So how did you find out about Helen Boyd Dull?
Growing up in Southern Pines, it's a folk story that I always had heard about this. And then just newspaper accounts, various stories that historians would talk about how Helen saved the trees.
And you decided then to somehow capture her exploits and the saving of these trees in a musical production.
Definitely. I found her a very inspirational character because essentially she had come in 1904 and compelled her father to buy this jurisdiction, this virgin forest. And then throughout her lifetime and the lifetime of her family in the town, they preserve the trees, and so today they survive in the town.
And Rod, you're a choir master. Your group is the Together in Unity Choir. What connection do you have with this story and the particular production that we're talking about?
Being a native right there in the area from the Moore and Richmond counties, which border each other, I found it very interesting that there was this story that I knew nothing about, and Ray and I share a mutual friend that connected us. And as Ray began to talk about the piece, I became infatuated with the story and kind of intrigued because it was a story that was about our area that I knew nothing about. So I became intrigued and I liked the message of saving the trees because I think that's one of the areas about Southern Pine, that one of the things about Southern Pines that I like the most are the pine trees.
Yeah, it's a great story. And tell us about the churches now that are involved in your choir because you spread out over quite an area.
Yeah, we're a community-based choir. We are from two different churches, Love Grove Free Will Baptist Church, which is in the Moore County area, and Fletcher's Chapel United Methodist Church, which is in Richmond County, which is about 10 minutes away. And both churches are over 100 years old, and we are all from that general area and share a love for the Southern Pines area.
Tell us a little bit about the script itself and how you came to write the story or which part of the story you decided to capture.
Essentially, I knew I needed to keep it a simple story because I was wanting to weave together. I call this type of work cultural theater, which is essentially I draw people that have a connection to the story to me, various artists, and we tell the story together. And so it's just a simple story of her going up the hill, finding the turpentine workers, bleeding the trees, and saving them. So I created a storyboard with images and basic text, and then I approached Rod with it and showed him what I was doing. I approached Diana Turner Fort, who's the choreographer and the primary dancer, so that she could compose dance. Ryan Book, who's the musical composer, he began to compose music. Then we have photographers Frank Hunter, Carolyn Young, and then a videographer and filmmaker, photographer Brady Beck. And so all of them began working from the storyboard to create the pieces. And then we have an actress and a singer-songwriter, Abigail Dowd. And Abigail, of course, composed music specific.
And we have some of that music with us right now. We're going to listen to a bit of the original music composed for Bleeding Pines. It's a song called Silent Pines by Abigail Dowd.
Come on, children, rise up. Don't let them tear you down. Come on, children, rise up. Don't let them tear you down. Can you hear the branches strum their refrain? Rise up to heaven, tall above the flames, and stronger than the wounds that bleed them dry. Stronger than you or I. Come on, children, rise up. Don't let them tear you down. Come on, children, rise up. Don't let them tear you down.
The Silent Pines, a little bit of that by Abigail Dowd, part of a show called Bleeding Pines that celebrates the life and the work of Helen Boyd Dull. When was there much of a folk tradition that Abigail had to draw on? Were there any folk songs about? You know, it's the kind of thing that people tend to celebrate, at least in folk culture.
Just the stories that were told in the town. Abigail is a native of the area and so grew up in this forest, the Weymouth Forest, and knew it very well. And then I had been writing about it in magazines and in the newspaper and giving talks about it. And the minute I decided to write the play, I envisioned her as being Helen because such a remarkable person. And so I would talk to her about it. She knew about it. And then the words from the script, she had that to base the song upon.
Rod, what about the contribution of the choir? How does that music play into this production?
Pretty much when Ray started doing his writing, he would send me pieces of the script and I would then look into my repertoire or things that I knew and try to base it on what he had already written. So the songs that the choir performs are songs that are inspired directly from his writing.
But these would be tradition. These would be pieces that are already written, traditional pieces that might evoke the time and the era.
Correct.
Music that might have been sung at that time. So
one is actually a Negro spiritual that was probably sung by slaves during that era, during some of the workers in the field. So that inspires one. And then the other song, one song called Rising, was inspired by the pine trees themselves reaching up to God. And it says, you know, I'll rise until I reach my heavenly home above adversity.
So it includes traditional songs, original music, dance, and, of course, the text. And maybe you could read something for us from the show itself.
Oh, I'd be happy to. Rod just mentioned the early Negro spiritual that is in the play, and it's called I Promised the Lord That I Would Hold On. And the soloist that does that piece is Mamie Gooch, and she just does an amazing job with it. And essentially what she is saying, her words, is an affirmation to God that despite adversity, that the Spirit is strong and continue. And so these are the words that follow that song. If I had any agency, it was the great Almighty. If you had the money, you could get on the train and Moses took you away. I was left singing for my supper. Crops were short and a man couldn't move until his rent was paid. I became a drawer of water and a hewer of wood, making a virtue of necessity. Hands tough as leather, bones filled with aches, the sap, it ran like sweat, it ran like hell. Every scar I have came from turpentine. But you know, a forest was chosen to be an orchard, destined for the fields we came from miles around. The hack made the scoring that caused the bleed, and the axe cut a hole in the trunk to catch it. Chippers and dippers moved from tree to tree, shouting out their tallies, with hundreds of barrels by the roadside. The chipper, the dipper, the bucket, the barrel, the V-shaped cuts turpentine made in me. You know, you're dust, and to dust you shall return, bones of my bones, and the naked breath that left thee, me of me.
Ray Owen reading from the piece he created called Bleeding Pines of Turpentine. Also with us today, collaborator Rod Brower, choir master of the Together in Unity Choir. Thank you both for being on the program.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us.
The next performance of Bleeding Pines of Turpentine set for Saturday night, 7:30 at Owens Auditorium at Sandhills Community College in Pinehurst. Next up on The State of Things, recipes old and new from Kelly Alexander and Michael Ruhlman. Stay tuned to The State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.